continuation of last week's lesson, where we left off speaking to you about Noah, how that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, this was something that I explained to you was not of Noah, but was something that God does irrespective of who we are and what we are. If he has a purpose of grace towards us, we most certainly shall experience it in this life. And Noah, he was exempted from this terrible catastrophe, this terrible judgment that was to come upon the earth. We read that Noah had three sons. The generations of Noah was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Noah was a just man in his generations, and he was perfect, and he walked with God. This is the testimony of Scripture concerning Noah. What a testimony, my hearers, that this man had. This man, then, he was a just man. He was justified in the sight of God. He was saved by the grace of God. He was a pardoned and a reconciled sinner, justified in the righteousness of Christ. And he was a perfect man. He was a sincere man. He was sincere in heart, and in life he was blameless before God. He walked before God. He walked with God, it says. Just as we read of Job, he was a man that was perfect and that likewise eschewed evil. This Noah was the same sort of a man by the grace of God. And he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These sons, they likewise were to be the ones from which this world would be populated with. Shem, he was the one through whom the Messiah would descend. He was in the lineal descent then of whom Christ would come forth into this world. Ham, he was a bad character. He was a person that resembled his name. His name means burnt, black. And he likewise was cursed by his father for discovering the nakedness of his father to his two brothers. This Ham, he became a seafaring man, and his generation after him. They came to civilization before the other two posterities of the two sons of Noah. This man, Ham, and his posterity were allotted the southern parts of Asia, where it is so terrific hot. There in Persia and around about in those countries in Africa, this is where the descendants of Ham went to. Then we have Japheth, who likewise was blessed by his father, and in whom likewise we read that Shem and likewise Ham, they who would be spread abroad in the world, they likewise would have descendants of Japheth living with them. According to the history of Japheth, they encompassed practically the whole world. They went from north to south. There was seven sons born unto this Japheth, and one of them was Nimrod. He was a great hunter before the Lord. And these people, they became a roving and a wandering race. They went hunting. They spread out throughout the whole continent of Europe, and they even went into the northern hemisphere. And according to reports, they crossed the Bering Strait and entered even into America. They likewise penetrated south to the Mediterranean Sea, and they likewise came across the Atlantic Ocean. And some say that they likewise came to America through Newfoundland, where in the desert parts of Newfoundland there have been things discovered which prove that it was inhabited before it actually was founded and became a country. And they believed that part of Japheth's posterity entered into the North American continent, and they were the first ones to be here. And now, this sons of Noah, they were men that God would use and bring forth into this world a multitude of people. And now we find that Noah, he was a just man, and he was a God-fearing man. God looked down upon the earth, and he saw that the earth was corrupt, and it was filled with violence, and all flesh had corrupted its way. Oh, what an awful sight this was to God. He had created his creature good and upright, and now he saw his creatures corrupt. They were filled with the devil. They began to do things that were terrible. Daring sins were being committed. Murder, rape, adultery, thieveries, and robberies were being committed by these people here upon earth. And none of them cared for each other anymore. The love towards the neighbor had departed, and they only sought their own. Nowhere could you find anyone bowing their knees and seeking God anymore. Nobody prayed to God anymore. Nobody asked to be converted. They all lived without God. It was an ungodly nation that was living upon the earth at that time. There was only one amongst all the multitude that was upon the earth that feared God, that served God, that worshiped God, and that was Noah. And now Noah, living in the midst of all this sin and all this corruption, you may be sure that it grieved him, or that he prayed many times to God that God would give a blessed change, that he would bring a reformation to take place amongst the inhabitants of the earth, seeing this all around him. And as he was praying probably a long time and received no answer, he became very discouraged, very despondent at times. But God heard him. God was going to answer him in an entirely different manner than Noah expected. For then, when God got to the end of his patience, and when his forbearance had run out with these people, then he came to Noah, and he said unto Noah that the earth was corrupt, and that it was filled with violence, and that he was going to destroy the earth and everything that lived upon it. Everything that had the breath in its nostrils would be destroyed by God. Oh, this, that judgment that was to come upon these people was proclaimed to Noah. We read that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he showed this unto Noah. And I am sure that Noah went forth, and he began to speak unto the people and tell them about this terrible judgment that was going to come upon them, because God was going to destroy the inhabitants of the earth. He was going to bring a great flood upon the earth. And therefore, he begged them, he entreated them to repent, to turn from their sins. Oh, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness by Peter, and surely he preached to these people. But as Isaiah after him had to say, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" So Noah had to complain that there was no blessing upon his preaching, that it found no ingoing path, that nobody listened, that nobody believed him. They had a deaf ear to his warnings and to his admonitions and to his entreaties. And they went on in their sins, irrespective of what Noah told them, which was going to come upon them. And then God came unto Noah and said unto him, "I, even I, will bring a flood of waters upon the earth." Oh, this great God, this God who each and every one of us should fear, should love, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth. Oh, should we not then fear this great God in whose life and in whose hand our breath is, who immediately could cut us off and cast us away? Oh, he is greatly to be praised and greatly to be feared above all gods. Oh, how many of us live like these people that I am speaking about? Oh, how many, even in the times in which we live, are like these inhabitants of the first world? Oh, there is so much corruption, there is so much sin, and so much violence in this blessed country in which we live. Isn't it a wonder to you that God bears with it? It has been with me many times. My prayer is continually that God would grant a blessed change in this country, but we see it not taking place. We see nothing else but even laws being made to protect the murderer and the robber, and crime on the increase. People not caring any more for each other, murdering each other for what? For hardly anything that is worthwhile. This country itself is filled with corruption and violence, let alone the other countries that are in this world. So it was at this time when Noah was dwelling upon the earth, he was the only one that was righteous in the sight of God. He was one who was righteous in the righteousness of Christ. And God singled him out. God spake to him and said unto him that he was going to bring this great flood upon the earth. And everything that lived would die, would perish, would be destroyed. And now God commanded Noah that he should build an ark of gopher wood. And he gave him the dimensions of it. He said that it should be 300 cubits long, and that it should be 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. According to the measurements that God has given us in his word, if we take 22 inches to a cubit, then the ark was 547 feet long. It was 93 feet and a half wide, and it was 54 feet 8 inches high, a sufficient vessel to carry all that God had commanded Noah to bring into it. There would be enough room for all the persons and all the animals and all the food that he had to store in it. God then was the architect. God told him how to build this ark. This ark was an oblong vessel. It had no points in the front of it that it should pierce through the water. It was a vessel that was made to lay flat upon the water. It had no rudder, it had no mast, it had no way to be steered. It just lay upon the water, and God would see to it that it would be taken care of. And Noah then was commanded to build this ark, and he was told that he and his wife and the wives of his sons should enter into this ark. We see in this, my hearers, the mercy of God to Noah and to his family. Oh, that God looked down upon Noah because he was one of his children, we can understand a little, but that he likewise looked upon his family, his three sons and their wives, and he, in mercy, would allow them to enter into the ark with him. Oh, my hearers, it will not be so in the last day of judgment. You who have had godly parents, a father, maybe a mother that feared the Lord, they will not help you in that day. These people that were relatives to Noah, they were spared for Noah's sake. They were permitted to go into the ark with Noah, but not in that great day, my hearers. You must be found in the ark, Christ Jesus, for each and every one of us will have to answer for ourselves. Oh, this God then provided a way whereby Noah and his family would escape the judgment that was to come. He was to build this ark of gopher wood. Of the commentary said it's just a common ordinary wood, a cypress or a pine wood. This is what was to be used. And he was to fill the gaps in it with pitch, which was tar, which when the sun had hit it, got very hard and dry and would keep it from leakage. And Noah then, at the commandment of God, began to build this ark. He was told that he should take into this ark a tube, the male and the female, of every animal that was upon the earth, and likewise of the fowls. Of the clean he was to take seven, and of those that were unclean, just the male and the female. And of all the insects that were upon the earth, the creeping things, they too, they would be given to enter into the ark. God said that he would cause them to come to him. Noah didn't have to go and go hunting for these things. He didn't have to gather them together first and wait until God gave the time that he was to enter into it. But at that time, when God was going to allow Noah to enter, he would cause all these animals to come there. Noah would not have to worry about these animals coming to the ark. And Noah then began to build this immense vessel. And you may be sure that as he was building this vessel, the people, they began to wonder what he was building. At the same time, Noah began to preach to these people and tell them that God had commanded him to build this and that God was going to bring a flood upon them. Oh, how he warned them and spake unto them in love, in mercy, but they laughed him to scorn. They mocked at him. They said, "You're a fool. What are you building this thing for? Oh, there'll never be no flood like you're talking about." And they will, and they continued to ridicule him and mock him. But we read that Noah, by faith, was given to build this ark. All what came up against it, inwardly and outwardly, did not stop him from building this ark. For Noah was subject likewise to unbelief and subject to the things that we are, for he was a man of like passions as we. But through all what came up against it, inwardly and outwardly, Noah persevered in building this immense vessel. All these people then, they probably even helped build it because it was immense. According to the commentary, it took 120 years for him to build this vessel. This vessel was a witness for God against these people that were dwelling upon the earth. It spake to them and said that God is a true God and his word will be fulfilled. They did not believe. They were under the power of unbelief. And Noah then continued building this ark and did as the Lord had told him. And then we read that God came unto Noah and told him that he should enter into the ark with his sons and with their wives and with his own wife, that yet 7 days and then the flood would come upon the earth. 7 days, I can see Noah in my own little mind. He went out to the people. He said, "Listen, people, you got 7 days to repent. 7 days yet. You got to seek God to turn back to him. And if you don't turn, well, then you're going to drown. Oh, turn, turn to God yet. Listen, it's true what I'm telling you." But they didn't listen. They said, "Well, let's wait then 7 days and see what's going to happen. We don't believe this. This man is out of his mind. He's not telling anything that's true. We can't listen to what he says." This is the way the people received the preaching of Noah. And they did not believe him. And now we find that God caused all the animals and all the fowl and all the creeping things to come to the ark. I can picture in my mind these people watching this. They had never seen anything like this. It proves to us that God controls the life of everything that is upon the earth, and that he caused these animals to come two by two to the ark. They all marched in and entered in. This was a wonder of God, and these people, they were blind to this wonder that God was doing. And then God gave Noah to enter into the ark with his wife and with his sons and his sons' wives. And then God shut him in. God closed the door so that nobody else could get in. And all my hearers, immediately after Noah had entered into the ark, then we read that God opened the fountains of the great deep, and the heavens began to pour down rain. He had said 40 days it would rain, day and night. And now God opened the fountains of the great deep. God, who created the world out of nothing. We read in the creation that there were waters above the firmament and beneath the firmament. And now God separated the waters and caused the earth to come forth out of it. And now this same God, he brought the waters from above the firmament and from underneath the firmament, and they began to flow over the earth. And oh, it began to rain like it never rained before. Great sheets of rain fell from heaven, torrents of rain. All these people that were dwelling upon the earth and that had been warned and been told by Noah, oh, how they must have begun to think, oh, he did tell us the truth. Oh, look at the way it's raining. It never rained like that before. They began to be afraid. They began to tremble. Oh, they came to the ark. They began to knock on the door. They began to clamber over the top of it. Open it to us. Open it to us. Let us in. But God had shut the door. God had shut him in. Oh, my hearers, we have a parable similar to this in the New Testament of the foolish and the wise virgins. And we read that God likewise shut the door after the wise had entered in. And the foolish came and knocked, and they could not enter in. Oh, picture to yourself in your little mind what was going on with these people. Oh, the rain was terrific, and the waters were beginning to rise on the ground. And then they began to realize what was going to take place with them. Oh, they wanted so to get into the ark, but they could not. God took care of Noah and his family. God shut him in. He was one that God loved. He was the only one out of that world that was saved. Him and his family. Oh, this wonderful God. He would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. We read of Abraham praying unto God when he was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? This he would not do in the case of Noah. He has done this, my hearers. Even in Holland, where they had such a terrible flood, not too many years ago, many righteous persons perished in the flood. Or they were not exempt, but here God exempted this man, Noah, and he was safe in the ark. And all the people outside of the ark, we can picture in our mind what they began to do. What would you do? Why, you would run probably to the highest mountain, to the highest tree, and you would clamber up to the top of it, and you would think, well, I'll wait now and see. Maybe the water won't get that high. But oh, it kept raining. And and the water gushed out of the earth. All the water began to rise, and soon all the houses, all the trees, all the hills, and soon the highest mountain was covered with water. All that had breath in their nostrils were destroyed before this immense flood that came upon the earth. Only Noah and those that were with him in the ark were safe. It was a sea of water. There was nothing to be seen anymore, just water. According to the commentary which I was studying, they believe that this rush of waters comes from the southern sea, that God caused something to erupt there, and these waters, they flowed from the southeast and the southwest. They say that where the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, this mountain was in a country by the same name. This country is owned by Russia at the present time. This mountain then was explored by certain men, and they found upon this mountain elephants, rhinoceros, masses and masses of them, tremendous bodies of them, not just one or two, but such a number of these animals, which they say is proof that the waters came from the south, because these animals, if they had died a natural death, they would have died in the climates where they were to be found. But now they found them upon these mountains in Ararat. And they likewise say that if you will look at some of the highest mountains in the world, you will find that the southern side of these mountains is the highest. And in these mountains, there is so much marine substance to be found, meaning stuff that we would find in the ocean or alongside of the sea. Even in the deserts and plains of America, there have been found various skulls of animals that never inhabited America. They claim, therefore, that God caused this eruption of waters to take place. It's a proof that there was a flood upon this world. It is in the history and it is in theology that the proofs are there that God brought this flood upon the earth. And now the flood lasted 150 days. 40 days it rained without stopping. And then the Lord restrained the rain from heaven and stopped the fountains of the great deep. 150 days passed by before the waters began to level up. And then after this, we believe that it remained on the earth 150 more. Altogether, this flood was upon the earth, according to the commentary, 320 days. A long time, my hearers. And Noah was in the ark with all his animals and with his family. Noah was subject to the way God steered this vessel. He had no control over it. He didn't know where it was going to land. He didn't know when it was going to land. He had not been told this. And Noah was in this vessel, just trusting and believing that the time would come that God would let this vessel come down somewhere in the proper place. Noah went into this ark by faith, and we believe he trusted likewise by faith in God. And now we read in the next chapter, and God remembered Noah. and every living thing that was in the ark. Oh, my hearers, God had not forgot him. He had entered into the ark on the second month, on the 17th day of the day of February. And he had been in that ark almost 10 months. In these 10 months, he had not received any word from God. Noah was in this ark. I wonder if some of you that are listening to me have ever experienced this spiritually. You probably have had something in your lifetime from God, and it's been so long ago, and it's so hidden, and you can't believe maybe that it was of God anymore. It may have been this way with Noah. I don't say it was, but it may have been, because he was in this ark and he didn't know where it was going to land and when it was going to land. So it may have been with you. You cannot believe any longer. You think everything is wrong, and that the end is going to be wrong too. But now God remembered Noah. He hadn't forgot him. He loved him. He was his child. He had commanded him to go into that ark. He had commanded him to build it. And he was taking care of Noah. So likewise, with every person that is born again, that has received a new life, that has experienced something of their sins and their iniquities, and they're fleeing to Jesus Christ, God's eye is upon you. God loves you. God's taking care of you, irrespective of all your failures and all your sins and all your departures. God still remembers you. He remembered you from all eternity, and he will remember you to all eternity. God has a wonderful mind. He never forgets his people. He didn't forget Noah in the ark. There was Noah floating on this immense body of water, and God remembered him. And God caused the wind to come upon the waters, and the waters began to assuage. They began to recede from the earth. And Noah was given with the ark to land upon this mountain Ararat. The country round about this mountain was called Ararat. This mountain is a chain of mountains which runs through Abyssinia into Persia and likewise into Russia. Here then, this ark came to rest. There God let it come down. And now while Noah was waiting for the waters to recede, we find that Noah opened the window that God had commanded him to make in the ark. And he let a raven fly out. And this raven, he flew and flew. He never returned to the ark.